All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Last week, we looked at a very sombering, I guess you may be the word. I mean, as far as of knowing that one day, every one of us that know Christ as our Savior, we indeed will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat of Christ. And we started that, and we talked much about that, and we talked much about how at the judgment seat of Christ, as a believer in Jesus, our works will be judged. Our service to Christ will be judged. Our sins won't. They were judged in Christ 2,000 years ago, and it became a reality of our life when we repented of our sin and we placed our faith and trust in Christ, and God saved us. But what I want to do tonight, with preparation of knowing that we will all stand before Jesus at the judgment seat as a believer. And again, for those that do not know Christ, you'll stand before Jesus, that is one that is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. And at the Great White Throne Judgment, it's too late. I mean, you will be cast into hell after Jesus, of course, judges there. But again, nobody has to do that. You don't have to die lost in your sins. You watching the internet, no one has to die lost. No one has to go to hell when they die. If you will repent, if you'll call upon God to be your Savior, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he'll save you. He will change your life. So when we look at it from that perspective, we come now to Proverbs chapter 1. And really what we're going to look at for the next few minutes is wisdom for everyday life. Wisdom. So how in the world, if we are going to trek through this life, if we are going to walk through this life, knowing that one day we will stand before Jesus, knowing that we live in a world where there is temptation on every corner. We live in a world where there is absolutely demonic influence. We live in a world where, and I've heard it said, it's true, that this world has a sinward pull about it. So with that said, as a believer in Christ, for those that absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, you know tonight, if you were to die, if you were to drop dead tonight, you know you'd be with the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about born-again believers. With an understanding that we're gonna see Jesus one day, and our service to Christ will be judged, how in the world can any of us live a life that is pleasing to God? How can we do it? Well, one of the ways we can do it is by having God's wisdom in our life. You know, James, as we'll see in just a moment, it was James, and I used this passage many, many times, where James asked, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so James tells us, when we go through life, we shouldn't live our life as kind of a shot in the dark, right? We shouldn't go through life as just kind of drifting through it, and man, we hope everything works out. As a believer, we hope that our life, you know, and some people have this, and it's amazing to me how they have this kind of attitude. They just kind of drift through life as a believer, and they think, well, I sure hope I become a dedicated Christian. I sure hope that I become a dedicated follower of Christ. Listen, friend, you can hope all you want, and it's not going to happen. You have to put the effort behind it. You have to put the discipline behind it. You have to make right choices. You have to be obedient to the Word of God. It matters not how much you know about the Bible. What matters is how much are we going to obey about the Bible. That's a big deal. It matters not how much we know about the Bible. I have friends of mine, they know the Bible backward and forward, and they will tell you they do. But I often wonder, you know all that, we know all of that, but how much do we obey? And that's a big deal. So wisdom, this wisdom for trekking through life, how do we do? What do we do with it? Well, how do we prepare, if you will, for the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that we're going to stand before Jesus? And I tell you, friend, when I say that, and I mean that, just about every time I make that statement, I make it with, yes, a sense of wonder, but I also make it with a sense of, not worry, that's not the word I'm looking for, a sense of, oh, woe is me, you know what I mean? Because I know in my life, I know, you know, the struggles, I know the temptations, I know the, you know, the times I feel that I let Jesus down. And but nonetheless, you know, I also know that in life, you can, you can live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. You can do it. You say, Pastor, I just fall over the same sin. I get in my own way. It seems like I just am constantly messing up. Well, that may be the case, but I promise you that if you'll seek God's wisdom and you'll seek His wisdom in your life, He can give it to you and He will give it to you. So here in Proverbs chapter 1, if you found your place, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Again, we're just going to tie this together with 2 Corinthians as we were talking about the great white throne judgment, the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne is for those that die lost. The judgment seat are for those that have Christ as our Savior. Here in Proverbs chapter 1, the writer writes and he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. You'll notice about Solomon. Now, of course, we don't just get it from this text. We get it in other portions of Scripture. We know that Solomon was outside of Jesus. He was the wisest man ever to live on the face of the planet. So he wasn't just anybody. He was a very wise individual. Did he make a lot of mistakes? You better believe he did. Did he disobey in certain areas of his life? You better believe he did. Did he disobey as far as in the area of marriage? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, he did. You say, well, Pastor, he had all these wives. Surely, it's in the Bible. It must be okay. Listen, God shows often his people, his heroes, those are often looked at as heroes, he shows them bumps and all, right? And even though they may have had many, many wives, as Solomon did, it never was God's will. God's will for marriage is one man, one woman for a lifetime. That's God's will for marriage. And often what men do, and we see it in the Bible, if they choose to disobey that, of course, that again, God doesn't change. He doesn't change his institution, even though man and his sin many times does or attempts to do. In verse 2, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, literally to discern that, to understand that is what he's talking about there, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And then notice what he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Look what he says in verse 7. This is a key. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, notice what the Bible says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit teach us and guide us tonight, and God will praise you for what you're going to do in our midst. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wisdom for everyday life. Now, some interesting thoughts as far as regarding the Proverbs. The Proverbs were primarily written by King David's son, Solomon. The rest were written by other authors. Interesting thoughts, interesting kind of backstory about Solomon. He was a very wise individual. Matter of fact, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 tells us, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. The word proverb, it comes from a Latin origin. It means for a word of speech or conversation. In Hebrew, it was a word for proverbs, means a comparison. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, you'll often see in the book of Proverbs, my shirt's driving me nuts, but you'll often see in the book of Proverbs, they'll do a comparison. They'll show this. Like, for example, they've done it in the first 7 verses. He's talked about the wise man, but he's also talked about the foolish man. So we're going to see a comparison, and you'll often see that unfold throughout the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, as you'll see, if you read it, is filled with many comparison thoughts and principles, as we've said. The Proverbs is very timely. It's a very practical book of the Bible. Topics, literally crucial areas of many crucial areas of our life are discussed in the book of Proverbs. Notice, first of all, if you want to write some notes down, you can. Again, we're just living our life in view that we will one day stand before Jesus. We will one day stand before our Savior at that Bema seat. Our works, our service, if you will, our service will be judged. Our service will be, and you'll see this in other portions of Scripture, our service is going to be put to the fire. And when it's put to the fire will reveal whether or not it was done right, whether or not, whether it be our motives, whether, you know, what we've done as far as our service to the Lord. And prayerfully, it will survive the test. Prayerfully, it'll be, you know, it won't be wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be gold, silver, precious stone, like Paul talked about to the church at Corinth.
So we see, first of all, the passionate plea for wisdom. Solomon gives us a passionate plea here for wisdom. Now, he gives us some words, and that's the way I like to study the Bible. I love to do word studies when I study Scripture. So we're going to do that tonight. Verse 2, he uses the word know. He says, to know wisdom and instruction. The word know here means to be acquainted with or to be familiar with wisdom and instruction. So Solomon wants us to understand there is a passionate plea here for wisdom. There's two types of wisdom. James talks about it. He talks about man's wisdom. Actually, Paul says it, 1 Corinthians 2:4, and James talks about God's wisdom. So James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18 talks about that. Paul mentions man's wisdom. James, of course, mentions God's wisdom in his book, the book of James. So when we look at this, so Solomon says, listen, here's a passionate plea. Now let me ask you that are sitting here tonight and you watching by internet, do you want God's wisdom in your life? Really, I'm serious. Do we want God's wisdom in our life, or do we want to continue to just living our life like, you know, whatever happens, happens? No, friend, we should desire, and we, as Solomon does here, we should have a passionate plea. There should be a passionate plea of our life to have wisdom in every day of our life. We need God's wisdom. Now, I will tell you, and I'll just say this, and I know I want you to understand this. Have there been times in my life that I did not seek God's wisdom? Yes, there has. And there's been many times that that has happened that I have fallen flat on my face. Maybe not physically, but in the decisions only later on, to make a decision only later on because I didn't pray about it, because I didn't seek God's will about it, because I didn't seek God's wisdom about it. Man, it was a mistake. And, you know, it's amazing how sometimes people love to point that out, right? My grandmother, bless her heart, I love her with all my heart, and she's with the Lord. But, buddy, I tell you, man, she would flat tell you whenever, if you did something and she had told you not to do it. For example, one time it was raining. Now, my grandmother was scared of everything. She was scared of thunderstorms. She was scared of driving. She didn't have a license, but she was scared to death of even riding in a car. And if she was hot, I think I get it from her as far as I'm always hot. I sweat. It could be 10 degrees, seemingly. I sweat. But we'd be riding in the car, and if I was driving, she'd do this. Woo, you're burning me up. So then I'd adjust the heat, and then I'd turn the heat down, and she'd say, woo, you're about to freeze me to death in this car. You know, so she was constantly going back and forth. And the wisdom thing, so here I was a teenager, had my car, and had my Chevy Beretta. And it had been raining, and she told me, she said, don't you dare go out tonight. She said, I'm telling you, don't drive tonight. It's weather's bad, it's raining. And of course, you know, I'm a teenager. I'm probably 18 years old, 19 years old. And you know, when you're 18 or 19 years old, you know everything, right? And I did. I knew everything. And I remember saying to my grandmother, Grandma, it'll be fine. I'll be fine. Well, I went, and I'm driving, and it was raining, and it was misty and it was kind of foggy. And I remember when I went to make a turn on one of the streets where I was going to somebody's house, and when I made that turn, it came out of nowhere. I hit one of those wires that come down off of the telephone pole, and man, it did a number on that right side of my car. And so I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to tell Big Rose about this, and this is going to be bad. And it cost me, I think, about $600 or $700 back in 1992. That's a lot of money back then, man. And so, of course, you know, Big Rose, she just, you know, she'd laugh like that. And you knew exactly what she meant by it. She'd say, well, honey, I told you you shouldn't do that. So there have been times in my life that I didn't listen to wisdom, and I didn't listen to instruction. You see, God often, you know, places people like that in your life. And if you're married, we're not going to talk about that. But anyway, when you should listen to your spouse, we're not going to talk about that. That's another sermon, and I don't want to cause problem in your marriage and have your wife look at you. But anyway, so the word know, to be acquainted with. Then he uses another word here. Look at verse 2, to know wisdom. Wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Somebody said, wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. It's knowing what to do and when to do it. I mean, if you think of me for a moment, wouldn't that be a blessing to know what to do and to know when to do it? to know perhaps, you know, when you should say something and when you shouldn't say something. Now, if you're married here tonight, that is a superpower, man, to know when to say something and when not to say something. I'm just telling you. So this wisdom, so something else about wisdom, it means, you know, carries with the idea of knowing what to do, when to do it. But also wisdom is the God-given, heaven-sent ability of applying biblical truth to the everyday experiences of life. That was a lot. Let me read it to you again. Wisdom is the God-given, heaven-sent ability. So we're talking about God's wisdom. We're not talking about man's wisdom. There is a man's wisdom the Bible speaks of. This God's wisdom. This is a wisdom that comes from God himself. Again, James said it to us. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, it's good to pray for one another. And I do that. I pray for y'all. I pray for our church. I pray for people when they come across my path, my mind. I pray for them. I've been praying for Matt and Catherine Calcaterra for some reason, Tracy. They've been on my heart, my mind for 2 months. And I've been praying for them. I'm going to have to reach out to them and just let them know that. But God, he'll bring people across your mind. And I pray for that. And I pray for a lot of different things for you. But in the context of wisdom, and even though I often pray, Lord, give them wisdom in the situation, it really comes down to we as God's children should be praying for wisdom for ourselves, that God would give us wisdom. Listen, you need wisdom. You and I need God's wisdom. Not man's wisdom. We need God's wisdom to trek through this life. Why, preacher? Because, listen, we're going to stand before Jesus one day. Wouldn't you much rather stand before Jesus knowing that you've had God's wisdom applied to your life when you were on this earth as opposed to trekking through this life, living, you know, flying by the proverbial seat of your britches and just, well, whatever happens, happens. No, friend, we should live our lives with intentionality. That's a great word. Being intentional. You know, how do you say, Pastor, I know a lot of people, man, they know the songs. They know the hymn songs. And a lot of people don't even have to look at the screen. Well, how do they do that? Because they learned them. They took the effort. They took the time to learn them. What about books of the Bible? I know some people are able to turn right to the Word of God. They learned it. Some verses of Scripture. My wife, man, she knows a ton of Scripture. And it's not uncommon to be listening to a preacher. He'll say a verse as soon as he starts. My wife will finish the verse. Why? Because she disciplined her life, especially as a young girl, as a teenager. As a child, as a teenager, in Awana programs, learning the Scripture, learning the Bible. And it's not uncommon. My wife will put Scriptures as far as in different areas of the house. And, you know, one is, you know, she put on the bathroom mirror in the kids' bathroom. And I think this was one she put, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And she'll put verses like that up as far as in the house and things. You say, Pastor, why would she do that? Because she understands the power of God's word. And she understands the importance of getting God's word into our lives. And he uses the word know. Then he uses the word wisdom. This God-given, heaven-sent ability of applying biblical truth to the everyday experiences of life. How do you get wisdom? According to James 1:5, I've taught you this. Let me teach you again. In James 1:5 through 8, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, the word lack, you know what it means, perhaps. It means to be destitute. It means to be bankrupt. It means you don't have it. If any man lack wisdom, so in order for you to get God's wisdom, you and I have to absolutely admit before God that we do not have it in and of our own strength. We cannot be successful in our life. I'm talking about biblical success. God, we can't do it. God, I can't do it unless your wisdom is given to me. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom as far as a husband. I need your wisdom, God, as far as a pastor, as a dad, as a friend. I need your wisdom. Fostering, man, when my wife and I, we for 6 months, we attempted to get the kids, and God in his timing allowed us to get them when he did, and they went in April 24th, we got them October 24th, before we actually got them, you know, physically took custody of them, but the point is, man, we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom in that. We need the Lord's wisdom as far as, you know, hopefully, prayerfully, making a difference in their life and giving them instruction. And I don't know about you, but when we were younger, well, you say, preacher, you're not old. Well, I'm 45, and we were young parents, and now I'm 45, and Leslie's 29. You'll get that later. She's had a bunch of 29 birthdays, and I teased her something one time. I said, you know what's amazing, babe? I said, when we got married, I said, I was 3 years older than you. I said, well, we've been married 23 years now, and I'm about 8 years older than you are. I said, I don't understand. I don't know how the math works there, you know, but just kidding. So if any man lack, that means you acknowledge you need it. You're destitute. You don't have it. It's not something you can conjure up. It's not something you can get from just a book. The Bible, of course, God can give it. But it's not something you can go to a seminar and say, okay, I went to this seminar and I left with God's wisdom. Listen, God can use seminars, yes. But ultimately, wisdom will come from God above. His wisdom will come from him. So how do you get it? You admit, you acknowledge that you need it. Second of all, the word lack. Second of all, the word ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Ask of God. Now, the word ask there in the original language, it literally is in the continuum. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? It carries with it the idea of not just asking one time. If you have kids or you've raised children, when your kids wanted something, did they just ask once? You say, you better believe they ask once. Well, my kids don't. My kids, they'll ask, and then they'll ask, and then they'll send the middle son to ask, and then they'll send the youngest, because the youngest never gets told no. Right? I mean, you say, Pastor, what's your point? In the continuum, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. It carries with it the idea of asking, 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 asking. It's a continuation, a continuum as far as this word is. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. It isn't something that you just wake up on one morning. Say you wake up on a Monday, here it is, a Wednesday, let's just say the last Wednesday of February, and you wake up and you just simply pray, Lord, give me wisdom, and that's the last time you pray it the rest of your life, and expect God to give you his wisdom every single day. No, you have to continually ask. You say, Pastor, why would it be that, why would it be in a continuum? Why would it be a word that carries the idea of continually ask God for it? Well, think with me for a moment. What is life made of? Let me illustrate. Life is made of, and maybe I'm wrong, at least I know in my life it's been this way. My life consists of hills and valleys, right? Hills and valleys. Life isn't, maybe yours is, I know mine hasn't been. Life isn't just kind of, you just kind of go like on horizon and no ups, no downs. You just, ooh, ooh. And also, friend, life isn't always on the mountaintop. You can't always live on the mountaintop, right? And you say, I'm on the mountaintop. Well, praise God, and I'm grateful that you are. But I find in my life that it's a lot of hills, it's a lot of valleys, it's a lot of, it's been some trials. It's been some different, different things in my life. And, but having said that, with that, so your pastor, well, I just pray wisdom for one time. Listen, there's times I pray, God, give me wisdom as a pastor. There's been times I'd be going into meetings before I'd even get to church. I'd be driving, especially my first church I pastored. I was a young kid. I didn't know anything, hardly anything. As far as I didn't know anything about pastoring other than what my pastor illustrated and demonstrated in my life and I'd observed and what Pastor Bob Lamb taught me, that's all I knew, And I had a passion to preach, had a burden to preach, but there was many, many times going into church and going into situations and going into perhaps a situation that could have been difficult because of the unknown, because of the uncertainty, right? And there'd be many times I'd just simply say, God, will you please give me your wisdom. God, I need it. I need your wisdom in this situation. And there has been times I would say, Lord, if you don't give me your wisdom, this is going to be bad. And I pray that. I've prayed that way before. God, if you please, Lord, give me your wisdom. Father, please give me your wisdom in this situation. I don't want my wisdom because, God, I don't want man's wisdom because if we have man's wisdom, I promise you, it probably will fall flat. You're going to fall flat on your face, and it will not be pleasing to the Lord Jesus as far as to do it in your own power. So if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But in the context of asking, it carries with it also, you've got to ask in faith. James said, asking faith, nothing wavering. Basically having the attitude of, hey, I'm talking to my Heavenly Father, and I know that my Heavenly Father will answer. I know my Heavenly Father, I believe it, I 100% believe that He's going to answer. Now, let me say something about this, though. And I've taught you this, but let me reiterate this, because I don't want anybody misunderstanding me. I am not saying that, well, let me tell you what I am saying. I'm not going to tell you what I'm not saying. Let me tell you what I'm saying about this. In the context of asking God and believing God in faith that God can do it, God will answer. But the point I'm making is, sometimes, remember this, I've taught you this, sometimes His answer is yes. Man, woo, what a blessing, man. What a blessing when God answers in yes. Sometimes His answer is no. Sometimes His answer is maybe right, not right now. There's a time element, a trust element. I've tried to teach you that when it comes to God. And we learn that illustrated perfectly in the life of David, when God brought David up out of a horrible pit. You know, the time element, the trust element that was involved. So there's this passionate plea for wisdom. Where are you at tonight? Where are you in your spiritual journey? Where are you at as far as in your life? You know, many of you, no doubt, are in a crossroads. Many of you are at different points of your life. You're at different, crossroads of your life. And maybe it be a career choice. Maybe you're considering a career change. Maybe it's a relationship, probably that may happen, and you really don't know what to do there. Maybe it's a school situation, a college, and you don't know, business or whatever. You can fill in the blank. You can fill in the paragraph of where you're at in your life. But my question is, wouldn't you much rather have God's wisdom given to you about this situation at this crossroads than you would as far as just kind of taking a shot in the dark and hoping it works out and, just kind of leaning on your own understanding, right, as opposed to acknowledging God? The Bible talks about that, as far as lean not on the own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Those are a couple of verses that God really impressed, really put on my heart when He was calling me to preach the gospel, and I'm grateful for that. So this passionate plea for wisdom, do you have it? Do you want it? Do you want God's wisdom in your life? I mean, think of me for a moment about Solomon. Solomon was a man who absolutely had God's wisdom. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he did. Because one of the things that we must avoid when we read Scripture, we must avoid looking at people as sinless. Solomon, yes, he had God's wisdom, but friend, he was not sinless. There was only one sinless person ever on the face of this planet, and that was Jesus. And Jesus was God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. He was perfect. He was sinless. Jesus is and was. But ladies and gentlemen, Solomon was. He was still a sinner, and he still needed God's forgiveness. So do you and I. Next week, we'll pick up where we're going to leave off here. We're talking about this passionate plea for wisdom. Next week, we'll pick up about the practical purposes for wisdom. There's some practical purposes for wisdom that we're going to deal with. Where are you at tonight, friend? I love you. I mean that. I love you with all my heart. Where are you? Where do you stand as far as in your relationship with Christ? Where do you stand as far as in your walk with Jesus, as far as your, where you're at? You say, Pastor, I'll be honest. You talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and man, it kind of it kind of rattled my chain. It kind of really just kind of grabbed a hold of me, Pastor, because I don't really think about that much. I just kind of reason that away. Well, we're going to stand before Jesus. We're going to see a man that we've never seen before. I'll be able to see my Lord, who I've preached about since I've been a little 16-year-old kid. And I tell you, friend, I say that. It's very humbling to me to know that I'll see Him. And I also know that John said, and we read last week, that there will be some that are going to be ashamed at His coming, of the second coming of Christ. But in the context of the Bema seat, in the context of standing before Jesus, and our works be brought up, and our as far as our service being brought up, our service being judged and being manifest right before God, I tell you, friend, I want God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. I want God's wisdom. I do not want to. I've been saved for a while. I've been preaching for a while. I do not want to have in my life a moment in my life that I did not seek God's wisdom and as a result make bad decisions, based on what I felt or based on what I thought as far as man's wisdom of. No, friend, be careful. Be careful living your life by feelings. You know, I've had people say that, preacher, I just felt. I just don't feel, you know. Listen, be careful about feelings. As I've said to you on many occasions, the thing about feelings, what's often so dangerous about them, not original to me, but it's true, what's often so dangerous about feelings is they can be felt. And often in our lives, it's hard to push against our feelings to really just kind of get standing firm on the fact of God's Word. We want to be standing firm on God's Word. And we want God's wisdom in every situation of our life. If you're a husband, you need God's wisdom. If you're a wife, you need God's wisdom. If you're a parent, you need God's wisdom. If you're a business person, you need God's wisdom. If you deal with people, if you have any interaction at all with any human being, you often need God's wisdom. There are times, and by the way, you can pray that. You can pray, God, will you please give me your wisdom? It takes seconds to do that. Many times when people, honest, I'm just telling my own life. Many times when people come up to me and they'll say, hey, pastor, can I meet with you after church? You know, many, many times what happens, I'll say, sure, you know, if my schedule allows it, I'll be happy to meet with you. And I promise you, when that happens, I'll often say under my breath, Lord Jesus, will you please give me your wisdom? I don't know. I don't know, God, what I'm going into. God, I don't have a clue of what I'm going into as far as with what the topic of conversation may be. Sometimes I do. Most of the time I don't. And most of the time it's good. But I'll often say, Lord, give me wisdom. Somebody will say, hey, preacher, I need you. Can you give me your opinion about this? I promise you, I try. God knows my heart in this. I try whenever I'm asked something like that. Lord, please give me your wisdom. My kids, Dad, what do you think about this? Under my breath, a lot of times I'll say, God, please give me your wisdom here. I know the propensity in my heart, and I know how the devil can work, and I know how the devil can impress upon perhaps your feelings, and it can feel right, and it can feel all this. But ultimately, friend, we should not ever live our life based on feeling. We must live it based on faith that God is who he says he is, and he will lead and guide and direct. And we pray that. I pray that constantly. Lord, please lead, guide, direct this service. May your Holy Spirit, I say constantly, I pray, Lord, may he be our teacher. So tonight, I don't know where you're at. If you're here without Christ, watching the internet without Christ, friend, I beg you, I do, I encourage you right now to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Maybe you are saved. You say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior. But man, I need a home church. We'd love to have you. Man, our doors are wide open. Let's all stand for a hymn of invitation. We trust if God has spoke tonight that the Lord will, you'll move. If God spoke and you need to respond, we encourage you to do that. Maybe you'd like to come for prayer at the altar. Whatever it is, you do that. And I know the Lord, you just be obedient. Just be obedient to what God's called you to do. Maybe you'd like to come pray for wisdom as far as in different areas. Hey, I encourage you. You can do it right there in your pew. What's your number, Brother Ryan? 385. 385. You come as we sing. 385.